Today we have a first house Pisces. This was a good chart to analyze. But before we get into the analysis, I like to reiterate that we create everything in our chart. Everything that we want to deal with in this lifetime, this is our blueprint, our life plan. We create it. The outside world is not doing anything to us. The outside world, including people, are mirrors of our inside world. Anything that we observe in the outside world from an astrological standpoint has to occur within ourself first. Okay. So my goal with astrology analysis is to present knowings to possibilities of things occurring in a certain way at a point in any time, because we always have many choices of how we want to use our energies, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, our actions, and our imagination. We always want to try to pick the best choice. But this is not easy sometimes because we cannot see the larger picture. The larger picture in our life, or the larger picture in life, all of life. We do not always know what is best for us. So we find out days, weeks, months later from now that maybe we didn't make the best choice, but we did learn something from it. Okay? We always learn from our choices. We're always learning and growing, even when we might not be consciously aware of it or know it. Let me share my screen. Okay. So today we will not discuss planetary aspects, but we'll primarily focus on the planetary energies. We can see this chart has oppositions, squares, some trines and sextiles, but we'll discuss planetary relationships later in this astrology analysis. But prior to today's analysis, simply know that the astrological houses, they represent past tense. The zodiac signs, they represent present moment, and planets, they represent future tense. That's to help our linear mind to understand our chart. Okay. So each planet represents a potential to accomplish something in a certain area of our life. All right. Planets are energies and forces. And planets also represent our pre-birth intentions. Remember, I talked about how we create our chart, our life plan. Planets give us clues of our pre-birth intentions. The planets represent a pre-birth intent to accomplish something that we started before coming into this life. And something that we want to work on and try to have finished off by the end of our physical life. So the workings with all of this experimental work is to try and get things successful in our life. That represents the information and evolution in the course of one lifetime, and from where we entered at birth and when we'll leave with our final physical death. Know that the planets, they represent the multiple energies of which we are composed. They are energy expressions, forces, which represent certain qualities. The astrological houses, they are areas of life. This is what creates space for planetary expressions to flow through us. Okay, we'll get more into details about that. But for example, Our sun, our star, it represents what we intend to apply in our life. What does the star do? What does our sun do? It radiates outward the powerful life force. And that's what the sun in our chart represents. That's the life force that is within us attempting to radiate out. So when we talk about the sun, we are talking about what the sun does for our solar system and its correspondence in our life. So the sun will give light, it gives energy, it gives power, it gives influence. And going back to our chart, the implication of our sun in our natal chart reveals where we have intent to shine light and develop and express in that area of life, to gain new light, to gain new understanding in this lifetime. As for the zodiac signs, they represent repeatable patterns of ways that we intend to make choices, create experiences, and to solve problems. Now, this natal chart has a Aquarius ascendant, which will basically exhibit Aquarian qualities in their day-to-day basis throughout the course of their life. Try to learn the zodiac signs because then we can define repeatable circumstances that will happen in certain areas of our life. The repeatable patterns that were established in early life, for example, this chart, Aquarius and Pisces, first house, Aries, second house, etc., right? That's early life, and these patterns are ingrained in the personality. We will have these repeatable patterns that were established in our childhood and will continue to subconsciously play out for the rest of our life until we consciously and willfully choose to respond to circumstances differently. Right? Before we move on, real quick, let's talk about the houses. Astrological houses, they are pre-birth needs. Okay? Planets, pre-birth intentions. Houses, pre-birth needs. We can get a general idea of where we are coming from prior to incarnation because the astrological houses represent our other lifetimes, and the size of the houses represent roughly how much time we spent dealing with certain areas of life. Okay. And this is good for us because to know what we kind of did yesterday is nice because what we did and didn't do yesterday has a bearing on what we do and don't do today. All right. So a small house in a chart. For example, the third house in this chart is considered small if we look at the degrees. A small house is considered a liability house, and it's less than 25 degrees in size. A perfectly balanced house is 30 degrees. All right. The entire wheel is 360 degrees. Divide that by 12, 30 degrees, 12 houses, 12 zodiac signs. So a small house is less than 25 degrees in size. This means that there was not a lot of time and energy spent in this area from other lifetimes. We will aim to bring circumstances in that area of life to successful conclusion in this lifetime. We want to expand the house size. Because when we came into the house, I mean, we came into this life, the house is originally underdeveloped. Okay. We need some life experience to grow the size. All right. So we can just always know that we are always experimenting on something to work in those areas of life, which takes multiple tries. And the house size grows and shrinks in size throughout the course of life. Now, large houses are considered talent houses. Small houses, liability houses. Large houses, talent houses. And large houses are more than 35 degrees in size. The first house, seventh house, we can see how they are larger than any of the other houses in this chart. This means that there was a lot of time and energy spent in this area from other lifetimes. We are very capable in these areas of life with these large houses. Circumstances will come easily to a conclusion without a lot of experimental work, without a lot of trial and error. And to access these talents that have already been programmed into our subconscious mind, and in which we already have a understanding, all we have to do is get quiet, ask a question to ourselves, wait for the intuitive answer, write it down, and just trust our knowingness. Okay? All right. I like to show this image because when we start discussing the different quadrants of the chart, this gives a good idea of our development through our life progression. First quadrant represents personal development. Okay. Second quadrant, family development. Third quadrant, social development. Fourth quadrant, career development. Our ascendant is our awareness of self. Our descendant is our awareness of others. The nadir is our intuitional awareness, and the midheaven is our rational awareness. The lower part of the chart is the subjective plane, and the top half of the chart is the objective plane. So introspective on the bottom, extrospective on the top. And in the middle is our divine spark, which is with us in all moments, in all of our life. It's perfectly balanced within us. Okay. The fool actually we could say represents our soul, the watcher, the observer. As we go through and make choices and grow our consciousness in our life. With this first house Pisces chart, I went through and gave a couple of characteristics for each house. I also have the size of the house. We can see that the first and seventh house are 48 degrees in size. Very big. Second and eighth house, 34 degrees. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth house. I list the degrees. So the bottom, let me get my pen. All right. So the bottom half of the chart, if we add up all six of these houses, they equal 180 degrees. Same for the top. Let's talk about the ascendant. All right. Now, the ascendant is a pre-incarnation set of qualities that we aim to develop, to perfect, and to radiate to our environment in order to support the evolution of humanity, not just to grow our own consciousness, but the ascendant is very important for someone to know about their chart. Here we have an Aquarius ascendant. Now, this provides a clue that there were several lifetimes of living a self-directed life of not predominantly involving the community. Okay. Aquarians are very much involved in community. So we can see here, as it's the ascendant, community's going to be a part of their everyday life. It's gonna be predominantly part of their everyday life. So in this lifetime, you will have the opportunity to become more aware of the world and of others, especially the less fortunate others, right? But it is important to not forget about those people who are very close to you in your life. Aquarians tend to have that faceless masses attitude, right? We're all together, we're all in this together. The Leo descendant, Aquarian ascendant, Leo descendant. Now, the descendant is the consciousness of others. So there will be a Leo type seeking in relationships and how you project onto others. So we'll talk more about that as we go around the chart and talk about the planets and the houses. But we can see that the first house is 48 degrees, and this is the where we in our life, we develop our physical body, our self-image. The second house is the emotional body, and where we develop self-value, self-sustainment. And the third house is the development of the mental body, the knowledge, the left brain, the communication, and also the perception of our immediate environment. Right? But look at this first house. We have Pisces in this large first house. Right? Large first house. This is 30 degrees of Pisces within 48 degrees of the first house. This is called an intercept, right? And the same thing in the seventh house, because with each house, if we look across the chart, it's going to be a mirror, okay? So we have what's called an intercepted Pisces and an intercepted Virgo. And we'll discuss this intercept in more detail when we get into the planetary archetypes a little bit later. But I just wanted to give this visual for right now. All right. We'll go around and we'll talk about the planets in the houses. We can see how, let me erase the marks. We can see how the first quadrant is greater than 90 degrees, which means it's already well developed from other lifetimes. But we have a smaller second quadrant. So this means that core beliefs, family, home, private life, 21 degrees, that's considered a pre-birth need. in this area of life, okay, there's going to be an attempt to work on developing these skills, these characteristics. Fifth house is small, self-expression, creativity, love, romance. But sixth house is considered balance. It's around 30 degrees. All right, so that'll be relatively easy. All right, now what's great about knowing the house sizes and the planet placements is we can do what's called life progression. And they can be very helpful because the planets that we placed around our chart in the course of our lifetime, we have several opportunities with each planet in each house to learn something and move forward to increase our frequency of our beingness. Okay. We'll see on the next slide where there's Sun and Mercury in Pisces. All right. And I'll talk about why that's important. Because nothing is destined to occur, but only occurs as we choose to see it in an external form and learn something from that circumstance. And as we progress through our natal chart, we can learn, I mean, we can know that about what age we had experiences. Okay. 1 degree equals 4 months. This allows us to know our life path progression. Then we can reflect back on the life experience and wrap a symbol around our life growth or our response to life at that time. So, for example, around let me give you an example. For example, around age two, you entered Pisces, okay? Because we added up the degrees, or 7 degrees. And the way, if you really want to know the math, 1 degree every 4 months of our life. Okay. So we take 7 degrees and then we multiply it by about 3.5. And then we divide that by 12, and that gives us our age. So 7 degrees times 3.5 divided by 12 equals 2. At 37 degrees times 3.5 divided by 12. At 37 degrees, you were 10 years old. So you were 2 years old. You're zero at ascendant. You're born, you incarnate. At 2 years old, your self-expression was more Piscean. Okay. 10 years old, you enter Aries. I'll explain how life progression can be more important to know once we begin talking about your planets, okay? All right, before we go to the next slide, I do want to talk about your Nadir and Midheaven. You have Gemini as your Nadir and Sagittarius as your Midheaven. Now, Gemini is intuitional awareness, and Sagittarius is your rational awareness. These two are working together, creating a balance. Now, your Midheaven also represents experimental ways to do things better. This Sagittarian energy is mostly behind many of the choices you have made and intend to make in your lifetime. Okay. So, for example, you're going to pursue more than one goal, and you have this intense need for freedom. There's going to be attempts to bring intellectual and philosophical opinions and perspectives. There's also this, or to gain and disseminate knowledge in unconventional ways. All of this is very Sagittarian. But this is also a clue that in previous lifetimes, there were attempts to increase your mental capacities. Because Gemini is all about study, and Sagittarius is about travel. You take all these experiences, right? And they work together. But there's also these previous lifetimes that probably had difficulty gaining acceptance as an intellectual. So there's residual energy in this lifetime with self-doubt. And so watch out for that. Okay. Aim to learn perseverance and to be more objective about what you have to offer to the world and people. Okay, moving on. The chart rulers. I like to involve tarot, okay, because they are powerful symbols that we can use to allow our subconsciousness to wrap around this symbol. These powerful symbols that have been in the universal consciousness for many millennia. We can bring those energies in. Okay, so again, first quadrant, personal development. The ruler for your first quadrant is Aquarius. Let's see. Okay. Aquarius rules the first quadrant. This can help us because, to keep it simple, if you're having difficulty when it comes to personal development, all right, if you look back at the previous slide with the attributions of the houses, if there's some difficulty, we can focus on the ruling planet of the quadrant ruler. So the ruling planet of Aquarius is Uranus. This means if I'm having difficulty with emotional development, I can focus on Uranus, Leo, and sixth house, which will help bring me back into alignment. All right. It's another way to aim our focus away from the personal development or where the ruling planet is located, and then we can use those energies to realign. Second quadrant is ruled by Gemini, and the ruling planet of Gemini is Mercury. All right. So when it comes to difficulties with family development, focus on Mercury in Pisces. Use those attributions of Pisces and Mercury in first house to help realign with family development. Let's change the color. The third house, I mean, excuse me, the third quadrant is ruled by Leo. Ruling planet of Leo is the sun. When it comes to social development and difficulties with anything of seventh, eighth, and ninth house, aim our focus towards first house, Pisces, and your sun to help realign when it comes to social development. And then finally, the fourth quadrant is ruled by Sagittarius. Okay. The ruling planet of Sagittarius is Jupiter, which is in your fourth quadrant. It's in your 11th house, Capricorn. And this is interesting because when it comes to career development, which is a small quadrant, this is a pre-birth need. There's going to be a lot of difficulties when it comes to career development in comparison to social development and personal development, the larger quadrants. But you are an Aquarius ascendant. Okay. And here we have Jupiter in the 11th house, which belongs to Aquarius, even though Capricorn, it's for you is assigned Capricorn, but the 11th house is home of Aquarius. All right. So there's a lot of support here when it comes to career development, when it comes to how the energies are there to help you develop career development. Okay. But before we get into the planets, we're going to go around the chart and talk about each planet, all 10. Now, I don't include the South Node, North Node, Chiron, Lilith, because we're talking about the primary energetic forces that are with you all the time. All right. The relationships we'll talk about later. All right. Prior to getting into the planets, let's look at key 17, which is the star. Okay. This is a symbol that can be used for your personal development. Now, the key 17, it actually represents the third stage of spiritual unfoldment. There's actually seven stages of spiritual unfoldment. But for key 17, it is revelation, which is the unveiling, the disclosure, discovery. We as seekers, that we do not discover the truth. It is made. The seeker, let me put it this way. The seeker does not discover the truth. It is made for them. We receive the revelation. We do not lift the veil of Isis. Okay? She unveils herself. So these are revelations that come when the reasoning mind becomes still, quiet, and the senses are turned off. They're sealed, they're shut off. Okay. This is why meditation is important. But going back to the symbols, we can see that the Hebrew letter assigned to key 17 is Zadi. This means fish hook. A fish hook, what does it do? It lures a fish. A fish hook in symbol means it's luring ideas, experimentation, research. A feeling one's way is referred to fishing, to investigate the unknown, the unseen. So, as I'm talking about all these attributions to Key 17, think about personal development. All right. Think about being a Pisces in the first house because these symbols and meanings applied to these symbols can help relate to personal development. All right. So, meditation, what do we do in meditation? Well, the symbol of fishhook, we go into the depths of the subconsciousness. We go fishing. All right. The yellow star on key 17. That's the symbol for solar energy to define our physical forms. Now, your first house is physical. We have to build a body, right? So think about how our physical development's first house. Our emotional development, second house. Our mental body is the third house. The seven smaller stars, those are the interior stars, the chakras, right here. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay. The bird over here on the tree, right here. The bird is a natural fish hook and is waiting for the silent mind, for the unveiling. The unveiling will happen for the silent mind. And the woman represents Mother Nature, Divine Mother. She's nude because she's unveiled. The pool of water represents universal consciousness. In the right hand, it represents its symbol for Mother, Divine Mother, modifying the cosmic or universal forces. With her left hand and holding the vase, she's pouring water, which makes five small streams. They represent meditation, which modifies the sensations and unfolds higher and subtle experiences. And the water just flows back into the pool, the universal consciousness. Okay. Now, family development. Let's talk about key six, the lovers. What's going on here? Key six has the primary meaning to discriminate. Okay. Discernment. To discriminate intelligently, to have acute perception. Key six is assigned to Gemini, and Gemini has the ruling planet of Mercury. So this is a card where we're learning how to discriminate. We have to keep a close eye, a close watch on our desires and impulses to discriminate between what is helpful and unimportant actions. Hebrew letter Zain is assigned to key six. See it right here. And Zain, at sword is assigned to Zain, and that means to divide. A sword cuts. A sword will separate. The Lovers is the title of this tarot, and it refers to marriage, union of opposites. The angel in the background, the angel's arms are up, represents superconsciousness, and the influence is descending to the male and female figure. Right? So the male figure is facing and looking at the female figure, and the female figure is looking at the angel. This creates sort of a triangle, but the male figure represents self-consciousness, the female figure represents subconsciousness, and the angel represents superconsciousness. So superconsciousness flows through the subconsciousness to our conscious level. And the tree behind the female figure represents the five senses, the tree of knowledge, the serpent of sensation is climbing the tree. Okay. Now the serpent, which represents temptations and suggestions, that is from our subconscious memory. And that's why we need the conscious mind to create clear suggestions for the subconsciousness, because it will respond. And that's why the serpent is a symbol of wisdom. Okay? Because the best choices that we make will create growth. Like, for example, in all moments, there's a lot of choices that can be made. And let's just say for this particular moment, there's six choices in front of me. And I want to choose the best choice of the six. Well, eventually, with enough experience and desires of making choices, we will get to that best choice. Okay. But we have to actually experience the other five choices in order to get to the best choice. All right. And again, they're nude. The male and female are nude because they veil nothing. Self-consciousness and subconsciousness, they are representing a loving intimacy. Okay. Now, if they were not nude, then there's some layers of ignorance or lack of experience. So the self-consciousness and subconsciousness were, we could just say, not on speaking terms correctly. There needs to be a correction. All right, let's talk about social development. Here we have key eight, strength. Now, key eight. This is important because key eight represents, well, let's just start with the Hebrew letter, tet. Okay. Tet, T-E-T, or T-E-T-H. It represents serpent power. And that means that our serpent power builds from within. And this allows us to see through appearances. Okay. Because our inner nature is going to match our outer nature. Our inner nature is going to be identical to our outer nature. We're only ready to receive what we're ready for. We're only ready to experience what we're ready for. Leo is assigned to key eight. And that's your descendant. Okay. The yellow background is the color for Leo, and the yellow hair on this. Let me move this down. There we go. The yellow hair on the female figure represents the creative imagination. Okay. That's one of the meanings. Because in key three, the Empress, which is a sign of creative imagination, she's also in key eight. The garden crown that she is wearing is growing flowers and has life. Okay. That's the consciousness to the subconsciousness relationship. So the consciousness plants seeds in the subconsciousness that will sprout with proper care. Right? What we feed our subconscious mind is what we will grow and will express from our inward to the outward world. But here we have a female figure with a white robe, and this means pure spiritual influence. It's purity. Okay. She, her subcon, the subconsciousness is clean. The chain of roses that weave around her and the lion, those are the desires that are weaved together. She has rejected the desires that are incompatible with purpose, with her purpose, or we could say with our purpose. And there's this tamed lion. She's got the mouth, she's holding the mouth open. This happens when we change our patterns, which changes our results. Okay. Where we focus our energy, we observe our focus, we become more accurate and more courageous, we build strength. And then the animal nature, which we are, we have an animal body, it becomes more of a servant instead of us reacting instinctually as animals do. I mean, we see that in nature all the time. When we reach this level of understanding, we have created the magical personality for the soul to walk the earth, and then we can see through the eyes of our creator. Okay. All right, career development, key 14, temperance. Now, Sagittarius is the ruler of the fourth quadrant. Sagittarius is assigned to key 14. Temperance. This means we manage our appetites and our desires. There's a mixing, and this mixing is to increase the strength, to properly mix opposing forces. All right. Temperance also represents vibration, the basis of all manifestation, the waveforms and motion. Samech, the Hebrew letter assigned to key 14, means to prop, okay, to uphold. And the angel has a solar symbol on his head. That's the sun, right? The white robe, wisdom and purity. There's a rainbow of promise. Okay, this is linked to Sagittarius because Sagittarius has the bow of promise, the archer. So if we aim correctly, then we will manifest these pure desires that we're aiming for. The crown in the background, you can see it over here, right here. That's a crown. It's a symbol for mastery and attainment. Okay. Eventually, we all get to the crown. This is perfect union with the primal will. And the torch in the left hand has five yods falling down on the eagle. That's five differentiations, the five senses, the five can represent the life power from fire. And then the vessel of fire, which is our watery body. Okay. Also know that with our vessel, okay, we have spirit, soul, and body. Fire represents spirit, soul represents our vessel, and the body is the furnace. Okay, that's why there's fire and water and this mixing. Our guardian angel is constantly propping us up, okay, and mixing the energies within our body, the furnace. Now, the lion, we saw a lion in key 8. Here, the lion in key 14. Okay, this talks about how when we change our suggestions, change our thoughts to the subconsciousness, then we can continue to grow in our development when it comes to the four quadrants if we had to assign it something. But our guardian angel represented in 14 in key 14 will help us with our change of heart. Okay, because we eventually, when we our heart space opens up when it comes to making choices, that's where the growth really takes place. All right. Pause the recording, go pee. Now let's look at the planets. Okay. Just a quick overview of tarot. Let's talk about your sun in Pisces right here. Okay. Because your sun is in the first house, we know that this is an important area of your life, and you should be spending some time in developing that area. The first house area of life. Okay. Pisces normally have the characteristics of being gentle and receptive. The inner world is as real to you as the outer world. Pisces are known as dreamers. Sometimes it's difficulty verbalizing the inner world, difficulty interpreting inner experiences. Pisces are very mystical. Sun in Pisces are very mystical, emotional, and imaginative. And also, Pisces are empathic for others and sort of a peacemaker, right? But for you in this chart, the sun in the first house, there's a clear sense of yourself. And you'll have this a sun in the first house with Pisces. It's going to be a You want to convey strong impressions to others, who you are and what you want. You'll be assertive and self-motivated to feel the need to be in control of your life, possibly too self-involved. Okay. But you do have this Aquarius ascendant that will help you with that. Now, as we talked about earlier, in your first house, there's an intercept. So this means that the manifest and growth process is gonna be perceived as a weakened manner. It feels like delays or blocks or challenges. It could be difficulty being expressed. For example, an intercept is sort of like a, if Aquarius was the house, let's just say Aquarius is the house, which it is for the first house. Okay, it's the ruling house. To get into the Aquarius house, there's only one door. Okay. But here you are trying to express in a Piscean way from your first house. You have to go through Aquarius to get to your Pisces. So this Piscean room can be reached by only going through another room. Does that make sense? Whereas if you are to just walk into the front door and be in a room, then that's a lot easier to access than trying to get to your Pisces for expression. All right. So this means that this could affect early development within your personal development quadrant. You didn't really have the ability to deal with things because your first house is ruled by Aquarius. So there could be a lot of bottled up energies and repression and emotions which come out later in life. All right. Now, this is not a bad thing. Try not to look at intercepts as good or bad, but know that it just is. And when we talk about trying to get in alignment and in balance, There is a way. It's recommended that since Pisces, and we'll talk about Virgo next, but you have also, because the chart's gonna is unbalanced, but we can make it balanced by knowing how. Okay, so for every intercepted zodiac sign, there's going to be what's called duplicated signs. Your duplicated zodiac signs are right here. You have Cancer barely in your fifth house. Okay. This means that Cancer rules the fifth house. But look over here. You also have Cancer in your sixth house. Cancer rules your fifth and sixth house. All right. Even though Leo is right here, Cancer is the ruling cusp. All right. Leo rules your seventh house, which is why Virgo is intercepted because of this big house. All right. So with duplicated signs, your fifth and sixth house. Right. Fifth and sixth house. Ruled by Cancer. The energy is amplified. The Cancer and energies will come easier. The Cancer in your family development quadrant is doing double the work because of these intercepts. Okay. Cancer has more area of life to work with. So, just know with the intercepted Pisces and Virgo, you can focus on Cancer and Capricorn, okay, but to help Pisces and Virgo balance. To make it even easier to understand, think of Pisces and Virgo, which normally balance each other out, okay, cannot access each other to balance each other out. It's like a broken seesaw. Okay. So, and nor a healthy balance will just take your duplicated signs. A healthy balance. We have right here. There's no broken connection. So the seesaw goes up and down and creates a balance in a way where you can fully express yourself with Cancer and Capricorn. Okay. But Pisces and Virgo are disconnected. Okay. It stops here. That's what intercepts me. So with the Pisces Virgo axis, we have this synthesis versus analysis. Okay. Pisces is synthesis, Virgo is analysis. Pisces is imagination, Virgo is material reality. Within your life, there was difficulty to discriminate with achievable goals and total fantasy. Pisces needs Virgo to help with inner visions. Pisces had this stuck imagination, which creates our realities to manifest in the world. So Pisces needs Virgo for that, for manifestation into the world. Now, Virgo needs Pisces to help not be too critical. Virgos can be sort of a cynic in a way. just very left brain, analytical. Virgo's really good at gathering information, question, is meticulous. And so Virgo and Pisces are not, they're intercepted, so they're not able to work together in a normal balanced way. But we can always look at the ruling planets also, okay? There's ways that you can look at the duplicated signs when it comes to Pisces. The ruling planet of Pisces is Neptune. Can use Neptune as a symbol and the attributions of Neptune. Virgo, the ruling planet is Mercury, which is in Pisces. Okay. So there's probably some difficulty with presenting yourself and with partnerships. But Cancer, the duplicated sign, Cancer and Capricorn, you have this strong need for a sense of security. A need to feel at home. It's just there. And it's going to be easy for you to notice this. And Capricorn is the area of life to build and organize, to be efficient, right? Let's talk about Mercury and Pisces. So your mind does not function strictly logically and linear. With Mercury and Pisces. Music and art is natural for you. Mercury and Pisces is a very highly abstract thinker, but everyday language can be difficult. And being in the first house, daydreamed a lot as a child, but Mercury and Pisces is also very intuitive with other people's thoughts. Okay. So with the, let's see, with Mercury in the first house, means if there's this serious thought in the first house development. Okay. So think about the self-image and self-confidence. It's already well developed, but you do have Pisces intercepted. You're very verbal, eager to communicate your ideas and opinions to others. You s have this tendency to say what's on your mind, right? And this will also be beneficial when it comes to developing or balancing the quadrants. All right. Because we shouldn't misinterpret just because the first quadrant is really large compared to family development. We can use our personal development energies to help expand the family development quadrant. All right. So if we look at your moon right here. Your moon is in Taurus, third house. Now this is a small house. This is the mental body house. This is the communication house, the knowledge house, right? It's actually home of Gemini, the third house is. Got a little bit of Gemini in the third house, but your planet is in Taurus. So moon and Taurus are normally even tempered, right? Peace, loving, not easily reactive to emotional displays, has this common effect on more high-strung individuals when they come into our life. If we have a moon in Taurus, you'll resist change, which requires emotional adjustment. Right. Yeah, Moon in Taurus has a tendency to resist change. But also know that Moon in Taurus will seek security and very devoted to loved ones. And watch out for substituting food for emotional comfort and love, because that's very Taurian. Now, your moon in the third house, moon can represents change and habits. And this represents an area that you intend to make major changes in this life because of previous incarnation, that small third house. The area holding your moon was probably in the other lifetimes was probably more fixed and habitual, and you were set in your ways. So in between the previous lifetimes and this life, you determined that if you carry those fixed ways into this life, you would not be able to accomplish what you wanted to accomplish. This means that you put your moon in the third house to give you a lot of change potential for third house matters. And also these changes will, of course, correspond and affect the other growth in the other quadrants and the other houses. So choices are normally made for you when it for emotional reasons, when something feels right, okay? You're comfortable talking about feelings and you help others with psychological insight. All right. Let's talk about Uranus and Leo. Okay, so we have Uranus and Leo. Within your sixth house, this is a small quadrant, family development. Now, Leo in sixth house represents an area of life that may present sporadic and chaotic circumstances that you will have to deal with. But your aim is to bring chaotic things to some degree of organization and to some degree of understanding. So there's a tendency to have unstructured work habits, or you may have an interest in revolutionary methods or new technology, or and also, of course, to be of service is a very sixth house characteristic. But with Leo, with Uranus in Leo, there is this self-willed and proud, egotistical, defies authority, probably difficult as a child to discipline. You have this impulse to rise up against any form of oppressive rulership. All right. But Uranus is going to be there to help regulate the chaos that comes into the life. There will be chaos, and then Uranus will help with that because of residual energy from other lifetimes. All right, so let's talk about and that's within your family development quadrant. So know that when you begin to channel your Uranus energies, think about how you within the family development quadrant, especially with Cancer, okay, your private life and your home life. Uranus is going to be able to help you with that chaos. All right. Let's talk about Pluto. Your Pluto in the seventh house. Okay. Pluto represents your source of power, right? Pluto brings Also, the compulsive and obsessive qualities to the conscious mind. Now, Pluto in the seventh house usually represents the area of life that you intend to develop a greater sense of power and control. Relationships, right? Your ability to relate to other people. That's seventh house. You're now Pluto in the seventh house. There's going to be emotional intensity, that compulsive attraction. There's going to be most likely superficial relationships will not exist. You have this strong desire to have an equal partner. You'll be attracted to strong personalities, charismatic people that challenge you, which invokes your own power and strengths. Okay. But know that Pluto in Virgo, you'll be driven to find ethical standards and have this clear sense of what is right and what is wrong. The subconscious drive to fix world problems, from a broader perspective. There'll be the inner emotional conflicting qualities, which are reflected in attitudes and in lifestyles. So another thing about Pluto and in Virgo, because Virgo can be very critical and one-pointed to a sense, but there's no middle ground with Pluto and Virgo. So there's extreme opposites, right? It's hard to keep that balance in the middle. So compromising can be difficult with others because of your strong ideas. It's just something to be aware of. That's all. All right. So Neptune in the eighth house. Neptune in Scorpio. All right. So there's this in-depth understanding of you're going to have this need for in-depth understanding and ability to handle other people's ideas, beliefs, and opinions. Okay. This house is not small, so shouldn't be too difficult, but Neptune is going to sort of give you the key to advancing to a more spiritual unfoldment in this life. Especially with it being in the eighth house, you'll have this, your eighth house is wanting to share with others also the intimate feelings, to share intimate feelings, to there's this these powerful fantasies and a very active imagination, which you have activated already. Based off the planet placements and house sizes, being a Pisces, there might even be some interest in psychic phenomena or supernatural. And the astral plane could be actually very close to, clairvoyantly, you could probably see ghosts if you really focused it on it. Just watch out for fears. If there's fear, then that's what we attract. If there's love, then that's what we attract. Okay. Neptune and Scorpio also, with this intense psychic sensitivity and imagination, you'll be attracted to the unusual and bizarre, attracted to obtaining a sort of a deep mystical experience or perspective. Watch out for drug use and emotional depression because that's the lower influence of Neptune. And we want to build ourselves up out of the lower influence into the higher influence, which will provide that divine influx of spiritual unfoldment. Okay, the higher octave of Neptune. Right. With this being in your social development quadrant, of course, finding other people with similar interests and ideas in spirituality, especially, is going to be important to you. All right. This is a large quadrant, so social development can also help build and balance the family development and career development. You have two planets in your social development, and they're outer planets, okay? Not so much of the inner planets from Sun up until Jupiter. All right, let's see. Let's move on to Jupiter. Now, Jupiter is barely 0 degrees in Capricorn. 0 degrees, 16 minutes. And let's remember that you have this intercepted Capricorn. Okay. But Jupiter and Saturn, they'll be there to help you with 11th house attributions. So Jupiter and Capricorn, it will help you expand and do bigger and better things, more so that more than any other area in life. So 11th house, okay. Can we see the correlation between your Aquarius? Let me remove these dots. You have Aquarius ascendant. 11th house is home of Aquarius, or I should say 11th house is assigned to Aquarius, but you have within your chart Capricorn as your 11th house. So Jupiter is going to bring good fortune working with others and groups and organizations, okay? And you will go far working with others who share your ideas and when you all unite together. Okay, that's going to help your Aquarius ascendant, or let me just say your Aquarius ascendant is going to help your growth in this 11th house along with Jupiter. All right. Now, Jupiter in Capricorn, it has its strengths also. It will help you develop a clear strategy and it follows to reach your goal, right? So there's this natural sense of order and self-discipline. You'll be ambitious, most likely to excel no matter the career or the job. All right. But, and with Capricorn also, leadership to coordinate groups would be a strength of yours. Community, innovation. All right. There's going to be this need with Capricorn, there is this need to feel detached, to strategize and manipulate and organize from an objective perspective. And Aquarians, they detach also and have this objective vantage point. You have Saturn also in Capricorn, right? So with Saturn in Capricorn, it represents, well, let's just say Saturn in the 11th house represents limitations and restrictions, but also represents the need and intent to that area of your life to be more organized, to deal with it in a more practical way. This is interesting because with Jupiter and Saturn both in the 11th house, you have expansion of Jupiter and limitations with Saturn. Now, Saturn will remove all superficial and unnecessary and have this intent focus on deeper importance. Okay. And Saturn is at home in Capricorn, right? So it's going to be strong. The influence is going to be strong. Your expressions when it comes to community and career development will have this Capricorn, Saturn, Saturnized expression. All right. Now, normally, Saturn in Capricorn doesn't join groups or feels uncomfortable doing so. Let's just say that. Feels uncomfortable joining groups. But with, and a lot of it has to do with the rules and procedures and community, which can be helpful, or else you might not feel you belong. Okay. To work with more experienced people is helpful rather than younger crowds, unexperienced. Like Uranus over here in your sixth house, your day-to-day living, your habits, your work could actually use some of the Saturn, and then your Uranus could actually help out in the 11th house, which is home of Aquarius, with this balance. And that might be exactly what's going on here. It almost looks like an opposition. We'll look at your aspects later and see what's going on in a more clear, get a clearer idea. Okay. We have Mars in your 12th house. So your 12th house is really where you honor yourself. You have a sense of your divine plan, your responsibility. Okay. 12th house is your also your inner power, and your subconscious mind is home of the 12th house. So Mars will motivate you to take action in this area of life. Right? Mars is about being, Mars in the 12th house is about being assertive about what you want. Okay, but it's going to be difficult. So you may lack confidence or have or desire for your interests. You might deny your desires and be secretive, which can lead to anger. So watch out for that. But normally Mars is in Aquarius, is very socially oriented and works well with others, and not concerned with hoarding personal power, more of a team player. The energy level is high and erratic with Mars and Aquarius, so they can this placement can create impatience or rebelliousness. So sort of see a pattern here with you got Jupiter with expansion, Saturn with limitation, Mars with taking action and high energy. Then we have Venus in your 12th house also. Venus in Aquarius. So more feeling oriented to 12th house and not just logical and analytic reasoning. Right, the right side of the brain instead of the left side. But Venus in the 12th house has the tendency to hide affection. feelings are difficult to express. And maybe there's secret love affairs or Venus in 12th house has the tendency to fall in love with someone who is unavailable, right? Venus in Aquarius is normally very open and unconventional in their attitude with love and romance. So that's a tricky placement with Aquarius in the 12th house. But they enjoy socializing. Venus in Aquarius enjoys friendships greatly, values friendship. Venus in Aquarius appreciates a love partner who provides plenty of freedom and not emotionally demanding. Okay. But with the 12th house, and Aquarius being in the 12th house, and also the cusp of your first house, your ascendant, there is a need to understand and participate in systems. That's very Aquarian, right? So that's an overall high level overview of the planets and their placements. One other thing that I see. Now, you have four planets on the bottom, right? Six planets on the top. This means that you're going to be more, if we could say it simply, extroverted, more extroverted than introverted. And you'll be more pulled to the outer than the inner, even though your sun is in the bottom plane, the subjective plane. This is just a high level overview, a snapshot. Like, for example, I've seen charts where there are nine planets on the top and one on the bottom. These people are just so extroverted and just not as reserved. But with your chart, you have it's more balanced. You have a 4-4-6. Also, know that on the right side of your chart, okay, the right side of your chart, you have one, two, three planets. And then on the left side of your chart, you have seven planets. This is a snapshot of you came into this life to create destiny more than fulfill destiny. That's just an easy way of saying that you are here to serve yourself more by creating your destiny than to serve others and help fulfill destiny. And all of this is for the greater good. It's not like a self-centered, egoic type of perspective, okay? But it's almost as if you're in charge of your life and for you to create destiny for you, okay? Especially having your son in the first house. You're essentially the boss of your life. There are charts where, let's just say it's flipped. You have seven on the right side and three on the left. These souls will incarnate and be more of service oriented to fulfill destiny. Okay. But with your chart, seven planets on the left, three on the right. You're here to create destiny. And there'll be people that come into your life to help fulfill the death, fulfill destiny. So they're actually serving themselves and you. Okay. All right. Let's sum up this video. I want to quickly show you your strongest vibration. Now, with vibrational astrology, I use the software to do some math, and we find out the strongest harmonic in your natal chart. And a harmonic is defined by I multiply all the angles between all the planets, and then the orb is magnified. And so the vibration will, the vibration that is the strongest is your first harmonic, the 114th vibration. So I had a profile score of 438. Okay. This is actually the chart. So when we zoom in on your natal chart, your first, which is considered your first vibration, and then we have 359 other vibrations, because there's 360 total. 114 is your strongest, and this is what it looks like. All right. We'll talk more about that when we get into vibrational astrology. But at least for now, you know what your strongest vibration is, which is titled the Transcendent Creative Explorer. All right. It merges intellectual precision with a strong desire for discovery, which compels to seek, analyze, and share knowledge in transformative ways. And this sort of makes sense with your Aquarius ascendant and also your Midheaven and Nadir Sagittarius Gemini. All right. Intellectual precision. That's very Sagittarian. All right. And Aquarian. Possess an innate ability to weave ideas into compelling narratives to challenge conventional wisdom. Okay. Marked with an evolving balance between research and intuitive leaps to uncover hidden truths and reshape understandings. So uncover hidden truths. Remember your Neptune in your eighth house? And also being a Pisces and going deep within the subconsciousness is going to be sort of natural for you. You have Mars in the 12th house of your natal chart. But when we zoom in on your natal chart, we can see over here all of these squares with your Neptune in the third house of your 114th harmonic. It's providing motivation to these planets, which have developed this relationship with Neptune, okay, in Scorpio. Mars, which is trined all of these planets in your second house, right? So a trine is going to be unrestricted energy flow, and the square is going to provide the motivation to make changes. Okay. This is why, with this planetary placement, your 114th harmonic is so strong. And to maintain focus and direction, which will ensure expansive curiosity that translates into lasting contributions rather than fleeting insights. That's very Scorpionic, right? Also, I list the minor arcana, which assigned. So the way I find the minor arcana, the tarot key assigned to this harmonic, it's by the decanat, the reflection point of the decanat. And I'll show you all that when we go through your strongest vibrations. All right. So, with it being the Eight of Pentacles, it's assigned the Lord of Prudence. Okay. The two, three, four. Eight of Pentacles is a Capricorn card, so Victor. Yeah, I think it's Capricorn. It's either Virgo or Capricorn. It's got, yeah, it's Capricorn. Okay. So you're Lord of Prudence. Okay. Your patient approach to achieving stability and growth, the rewards will come from diligent effort. All right, that's the tarot key that you can assign to your conscious mind for your subconscious mind that is assigned to your strongest harmonic. And this is just a preview. And we'll talk more about vibrational astrology and deeper into the analysis. Okay. There we go. So went over the 12 planet, I mean, excuse me, the 10 planetary archetypes, 12 houses, right, and 12 zodiac signs, and how your natal chart, from an overall perspective, is played out in your life. Okay. And then what we'll get into next is the planetary relationships and the aspects, along with vibrational astrology. And I'll show the strongest vibrations, and then you can relate to how they impact your life, because we can always reflect on our personal experience, right? And this is how we know if there's resonance or not, because resonance, when we resonate with something, that's how we know we've brought the energy in. Okay, the energy just doesn't appear. We have to be aware and then align to it. And so by having these knowings about your astrology chart and the planetary placements and the strongest vibrations, your consciousness, your sphere of consciousness will grow and attract these energies. Okay, because they'll begin to activate and radiate outward. Okay, that'll be all for today.